Good morning again. And for those listening online, we're going to open this time with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord our God, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your invitation to come. And we just ask now that you'll touch our hearts, help us to hear from your word, from this, your servant, and Lord, plant good seeds in our hearts that you will help grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to everyone listening online. Welcome to Liberty Vineyard. I'm Nancy Penton, and the message this morning I've had in my heart for several weeks is about invitations. And the invitation we're going to talk about today is especially from Matthew. And Matthew, when Jesus says, "Come unto me." But when you think of invitations, what do you think of? First thing I think of is the mail. I get invitations for birthday parties or weddings or baby showers or invitations for credit cards or health insurance. There's invitations, lots of invitations that come to my house, lots of invitations. When we have an invitation, we're invited to come somewhere. We have to decide whether we're going to go from here to there. And sometimes we're excited about an invitation, and sometimes we are hesitant about an invitation. We might not really want to go. What's it going to cost us if we go? If I answer that to invitation to a wedding, what's it going to cost me? What kind of a gift do I need to bring? Right? And so the invitation in the sermon today, based on Jesus' words, "Come to me." One of the "come to me" invitations that's so important is Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When I was a young child, I answered a call to come to Jesus. My Sunday school teacher told me that I could go to big church and walk the aisle and accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And I was sitting with my Sunday school teacher. I'll never forget this. I was sitting there in big church, and she had gum in her pocketbook, and it was clove gum. Now, this puts it back in the early 60s, right? So clove gum was powerful. And I said, "Oh, could I have a piece?" And she said, "Well, sure, but it's really strong. It might burn you." Well, when I tasted that gum, I thought, "Oh, my mouth is on fire. But if this gum is that hot, how much hotter would hell be?" So I thought, I better go down the aisle and come to Jesus. Altar calls became popular in America as revivals spread all over the United States. There were great revivalists. You might have heard of George Whitfield. You might have heard of Charles Finney. You might have heard of D.L. Moody and even Billy Graham. But when these altar calls were popular, there were altars in the front of the church, and people who were deciding to come to Jesus would come on the anxious bench. They would sit on the anxious bench. They would sit and tremble in the presence of the Lord, and the evangelist would know, "Oh, the Lord is touching them. They've come to the Lord." There became a whole slew of invitation songs. I looked up altar call songs this week, and I found pages and pages of altar call songs. But the one that D.L. Moody used, the one that started the Moody Bible Institute, was "Softly and Tenderly." "Softly and Tenderly" was written by a man who, Will Lamartine Thompson. He lived from 1847 to 1909, and he wrote this in 1880. He wrote "Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling." And even though he became quite rich, he lived a life of service. And one of the little anecdotes I liked about Will Thompson was that he got a piano and he put it on the back of a wagon, and he was aware that the small town people had very little exposure to good music, so he loaded this piano on a horse-drawn wagon and he went through towns in Ohio giving concerts of his music. He also wrote, "Jesus is all the world to me, but softly and tenderly, you might know the tune, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. And see on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me." And the chorus is, "Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home." And then other verses, "Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and me?" And then, "Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised to you and to me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me." And when D.L. Moody went to see Will Thompson, he said he would give anything to have written that song. So that's quite a compliment coming from someone who had evangelized all over America and England to say that that song was something D.L. Moody would have given anything to do. Now, Billy Graham had another song. It was called, let me tell you about this picture. This is a picture of my mentor, Ellen's mentor, Armin Geswine, with Billy Graham. And we know Billy Graham went to be with the Lord this week. Well, Armin Geswine went to be with the Lord in 2001, but he taught Alan and I in the College of Prayer in the 1990s. And he was a man of prayer, and I'll have to talk about some of his lessons on prayer another time. But he learned to plead the promises of God. He was a 24-year-old preacher who learned from a blacksmith, a layman who went up into the hayloft day after day with open Bibles, and the Bible became his prayer book, and he prayed and he pleaded the promises of God. And there was a revival in Oslo, Norway, and Armin Geswine went, and he was never the same after being in the revival when the Holy Spirit of God fell and thousands came to the Lord. Well, this handshake shows like this friendship between Billy Graham and Armin. Well, in 1949, Billy Graham had this big crusade in Los Angeles before I was born, before Alan was born, before most of us were born. But this crusade was supposed to be 3 weeks. It went on for 8 weeks. Many came to the Lord. Many famous people came to the Lord. And Billy Graham was in the spotlight, but Armin Geswine was across the street with 2,000 pastors praying for the results of this crusade. And so Armin led the prayer meeting behind the crusade and went on to lead more and more prayer meetings for Billy Graham. And he taught us to pray. You know, when he said the disciples came and said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Well, that's what he wanted us to learn. And Jesus is still teaching me to pray, and you to pray. So Billy Graham crusades were held all over the world, and everybody knows what song is at the end of his crusade. It's "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Well, this was written by Charlotte Elliott in the 1800s. She was an invalid. And it's not known whether she was born that way or early in life she had become sick and sickly, but she felt like she couldn't offer anything to the Lord. They were having a big bazaar in the church, and she couldn't do anything, and she felt so helpless. And the night before, she was just awakened by distressing thoughts. And so she took to the couch, and she wrote, as she lay upon her sofa, it came to her, the troubles were conquered in the grace of God. And so she wrote out what she believed, how she could come, and she set down in writing for her own comfort her formula of faith, the just as I am. And that has been used over and over and over. And I've gone forward with that song, and you've gone forward with that song. Come to Jesus song. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, of that free love, the breadth, length, depth, and height to prove, here for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I come. When some of us were at the Atlanta Vineyard, we played a vineyard song for invitation for ministry time called Invitation Fountain. And it says, all who are weak, all who are weary, come to the rock. Come to the fountain. All who have sailed on the rivers of heartache, come to the sea. Come on, be set free. All who are weak, all who are weary, all who have climbed on the mountains of heartache, reach to the stars. Come on, give your life. Heal me. Heal me, Lord. If you lead me, Lord, I will follow. Where you lead me, Lord, I will go. Come and heal me, Lord, I will follow. Where you lead me, Lord, I will go. So today we're looking at invitation words in Scripture, and especially Matthew 28. So if you have your Bibles or your devices, turn with me to the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, and chapter 11, verse 28. So in this chapter, in this 11th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is teaching the disciples, those who are following Jesus. He's taught them in chapter 10. He's given them instructions for service, the meaning of discipleship. And as he starts this 11th chapter, he's departing to preach and teach in their cities. And then we come to this end of the chapter, Matthew 11, 25 to 30, come to me, my Bible has as a heading. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So notice Jesus is praying when that starts. I praise you, Father. Who's he talking to? Father. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. And then it seems like he's slipped out of prayer into an address. Do you see that? He's praying to the Father, and then he slips out of that into telling everyone, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And so he's moving from prayer to teaching right there. He prays and he teaches, and then he invites, come to me. So notice, Jesus reveals the Father. He invites the weary, the burdened, those trying to obey the law, and he invites them to a yoke. Now, there's some illustrations of yokes here. I always thought of yokes as ones with oxen, like this, where there are two oxen that are together, and they're pulling a load together. And then this week, my picture of oxen was upset by someone who wrote a devotional and said that carpenters used to use yokes to balance their load. So here's an individual yoke. This was made by an Amish person, and you can buy this today that will balance your load if you would like a balanced load. And then there's a peasant woman who has a yoke that's balancing her load. So whether we have a yoke together with Jesus or a yoke that Jesus designed for us to be easy and light, we are to be yoked. Okay, we're invited to the yoke. And who's invited? All you who are weary and heavy laden. And what will happen? I will give you rest. What has to happen? I'll take my yoke. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, in the version that I'm using, rest for your souls is indicative of, it's something from the Old Testament. You will find rest for your souls. And if you look in the margin, you can find, oh, Jesus is quoting something from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 6, 16 to 17, when it says, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But what happened? They said, see, this was the invitation to stand by the ways and see and ask where the good way is, to walk in it. This is what the invitation was, but they said, we will not walk in it. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. So when we have an invitation, we have a choice. Are we going to answer the invitation? Are we going to come? Or are we going to say, no, we will not. We will not walk in it. We will not listen. What will we say? Rest is finding ease or inactivity after exertion or labor. Rest is finding relief or freedom, especially from trouble or anxiety. Rest is finding mental or spiritual calm, tranquility. Rest is to be at ease, to have peace. And they would not. As I have prepared for this, I thought about this book, Jesus Calm. Some of you may have seen it. It's written in the first person, like it's really Jesus talking to us. And when I opened this brand new version, that's a journal version, the ribbon was in February 25th. And I thought, this is too coincidental, too coincidental. This is February 25th, and the ribbon is there. So guess what it says? Rest in my presence, allowing me to take charge of this day. Do not bolt into the day like a racehorse suddenly released. Instead, walk purposefully with me, letting me direct your course one step at a time. Thank me for each blessing along the way. This brings joy to both you and me. A grateful heart protects you from negative thinking. Thankfulness enables you to see the abundance I shower upon you daily. Your prayers and petitions are winged into heaven's throne room when they're permeated with thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, for this is my will for you. Right now, as you rest in my presence, breathe in my calm and breathe out your controlling ways. Now declare your heartfelt gratitude for any blessings that come to mind. And that's February 25th in Jesus Calling. How appropriate for the sermon. The psalmists give us invitations to come to the Lord, to worship. Let's listen to Psalm 95. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Verse 6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And then Psalm 96, verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. And then Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful singing. So we invite one another to answer God's invitation to be worshiped and praised. We come in worship, we come in praise, we come and offer our hearts to God. In the vineyard, we have a heritage of vineyard songs that sing to God, not just about God. And they call us to know God, know God intimately, to sing to the Lord, to sing to our Lord and our God, not just about our God, but to God. And so in the vineyard worship, we have this set of music that moves us from invitation to encounter. That's how vineyard worship is. You move from an invitation, come, now is the time to worship, to encountering Jesus. Dwell in the midst of us. Come and dwell in this place. With intimacy, I love you, Lord. I lift my voice. This morning, we sang about a good, good Father. We sang Alleluia. We sang, look what the Lord has done. We sang things that we're just inviting God to let his mercies flow from heaven, new mercies, as we pray. In the midst of worship, we can encounter Jesus. We can be healed. We can come to the throne of grace. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, some of us are taking a Vineyard Institute course, and we're learning about restoration literature, where God said, return to me, and I will return to you. And there's so much about seeking the Lord and how the kings either sought the Lord or they didn't seek the Lord. And I have to write a paper, and some of us have to write papers about seeking the Lord. But there's a lot of kings that rose or fell, whether they sought the Lord or not. And so as we make a connection in this series, we're making a connection with Jesus' words and words from the Old Testament. Let's look for a come up to me in Moses. In the time of Moses, the Lord said, come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I've written for their instruction. So here Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 elders go up and worship the Lord at a distance. And then God calls Moses up into the cloud that appeared like a consuming fire, and he's there 40 days and 40 nights with his servant Joshua, who comes. And then we have Seek God for the City today. And what was Seek God for the City today? It was Isaiah. It was Isaiah 55. And it was down in that chapter in Isaiah 55. I'm going to start at the beginning and we'll focus on verse 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Hear the invitation. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come. Buy wine and milk. You heard the invitation, come. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Here we go, verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Jesus said, come to me. God says, through the prophet Isaiah, come to me, listen, that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. In the class we're taking, we're seeing how David's faithfulness to the Lord extended to many generations and how Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to David. And along the way, there were those kings that sought the Lord, that took down the high places, that restored the temple worship, that took down the idols. Come to me. God's still calling, come to me. And when the exiles who were in the Babylonian captivity heard this word, this was a refreshing word for the exiles. Incline your ear and come to me. They were able to go back and build Jerusalem, back and build the temple, return to the Lord. And the Lord said he would return to them. Not all invitations are alike, right? Not all invitations are alike. If you hear the word, come with me, come with me, you want to know where we're going. One of these invitations from Genesis 11 is one that I would hope I would not have answered, but I don't know. I wasn't there. Genesis 11, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words, and it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, remember this? Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And that's when the Lord came down. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And what did God do? Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand one another's speech. And its name, this city, was named Babel because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Another invitation I hope we wouldn't have done is Exodus chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a god who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. Then all of the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Oh, I hope I would not have done that. But we do go astray in our hearts. Jesus said some more come to me verses in the New Testament. One of them was about children. We've got the come to me in Mark and in Luke, where Jesus called and said, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. It's so important that children come to Jesus and that adults don't hinder the children from coming to Jesus, because we can. But we want to invite the children to know Jesus. Then there's some in John. I love the Gospel of John. These are some verses about come to me in John 5, John 5, 39. To 40, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you're unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Choices. Some were unwilling to come. In the next chapter, John 6, 35 and 37, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. What a promise. What a promise that if we come to him, we will not be rejected. We will not. We will not be cast out. We will not be rejected. We are to come. We are to come. Then later on in that chapter, John 6, 44 and 45, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So this is a promise that we can plead when we're looking for promises to plead before the throne of grace. They shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Lord, draw this one to you. Lord, draw that one to you. Lord, draw this one. And what happens when we come? We have rest for our souls. We'll have balance in our work because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And just remember the picture of the yokes. We'll learn from the one who's meek and lowly of heart, and we will have rest for our souls. Now, responding to the call, if you think about centuries of Christianity, 20 centuries, 21 centuries since Jesus was here, 2,000 years of Matthew 11's words, come to me, 2,000 years of people hearing, come to me. What about Isaiah, 750 years before Christ, approximately? Incline your ear and come to me, God said. And then 1,500 years, approximately, before Christ, God said to Moses, come up to me. So the invitation for relationship is there. It's been there. It's been there. And then I want to invite us to Hebrews 12. We have not come to the mountain of Sinai. We've come to Zion. It says in verse 18, for you've not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further words be spoken to them. That's when Moses was called up on the mountain. The people said, you go, Moses. You go, we'll stay here. They could not bear the command, even if a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I'm full of fear and trembling. Moses was full of fear and trembling. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. We've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. And then verse 25 says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven? Jesus said, come to me. Who needs to come to Jesus? Think about this. Is there someone in our sphere of influence we're thinking about that really needs Jesus today? Will we commit to pray for them? Will we use our influence to invite them? We have some cards that I've made. They're homemade cards. They're come to Jesus cards, and Alan's going to help by passing out cards. And these are commitment cards. And it says, I will pray for, and you fill in the blank, to come to Jesus. And then fill in until, and you can fill it in until Easter, until Christmas, until they come to Jesus. But these are come to Jesus cards, okay? And then think about who you're going to invite to breakfast, to lunch, to supper. Invite someone to pray with you. Invite someone to tell their story. Invite someone to come to Jesus. But we're going to pray for these folks to come to Jesus. Hold this card in your Bible. Every time you open it up, pray for this person to come to Jesus. Pray for this person to come to Jesus. It could be anybody, but I would hope that we would find somebody in our sphere of influence. Yes, we can pray for leaders, but I want us to pray for somebody we talk to, somebody we meet with, somebody we know, someone we can invite, someone. Now, you know, I looked up, what's a come to Jesus meeting? Well, that's kind of an intervention meeting where, you know, there might be somebody who's going astray and you say, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. Well, I want us to have a come to Jesus prayer card. Let's have a come to Jesus prayer card. We're going to pray for so-and-so to come to Jesus from now until. And this is in my heart that we do this. This is an obedience to the Lord. Have a come to Jesus prayer card. Who needs Jesus? Who needs rest for their soul? Who needs some relationship with Jesus? Who's far away from Jesus right now? Jeremiah, you can have rest for your soul, but you would not. Remember that? Who's that? Who's that person you're going to pray for? Rest is not just sleeping. Rest is not just making your body stop. Rest involves quieting the soul. We live in an era with a lot of soul noise going on. There's a lot of airwaves filled with radio, TV, cell phones, podcasts, music, our own thoughts. Our thoughts can be peaceful or anxious. They're hindrances to rest. What gets in our way to rest? What gets in our way? The just one more thing? I just need to do one more thing before I can sit down and have a come to Jesus. I want to be productive. I've got to work, and get this done before I can come to Jesus. Pushing, striving, pushing. But what is the Holy Spirit singing over us today? What invitation do we need to hear? What will awaken us and help us to come to our senses? Maybe it's a gentle tug on our heartstrings. Maybe it's a loving whisper in our heart. This message is for you, my dear child. I love you. I'm calling you. Return to me and I will return to you. Come to me and I'll come to you. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Come today. Receive forgiveness. If you hear my voice, do not hide. Do not harden your heart. There is rest for you and for your weary soul. Take up your cross and follow. Today, while it's still today, come to Jesus. Come to the one who loves you, the one who left the glories of heaven to let us know how much the Father loves us, the one who calls us to be his children. God is personally inviting us. Will we come? Will we draw near? There's a cost to following Jesus. Different ones have written about it. Elton Blood wrote The Yoke of Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote The Cost of Discipleship. We're invited to lay down our pride, our self-reliance, our greed, our covetousness, our willful stubbornness. Only you know and God know how it is with your soul today. Alan and I had a little discussion last night. If Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us, why do we need to come to Jesus? Well, think about that. Anytime I wander in my heart, I need to come to Jesus. Anytime I need forgiveness, I need to come to Jesus. Anytime I do not love the way Jesus loves someone, I need to come to Jesus and say, God, I don't love that person the way you would want me to. Give me love. Anytime I need to pray, I need to come to Jesus. Any time I need rest for my soul, I need to come to Jesus. Can we find a time to be with the Lord in a quiet place with a quiet soul? Come, give up your burdens, give up your fears, give up your expectations of what you had planned for your life. Give up your anxieties, your worries, your stresses, your pain, your emotional upset, your selfishness. Give up our right to be our own director of the drama of our life. Total surrender to God and God's purposes. Come and receive living water. Receive the bread of life. Receive the light of the world. Receive rest for our soul. Come to Jesus and truly live. To come, we need to leave where we are and go there. Answer the call to go from here to there. Today, if we hear his voice, come. Come to Jesus. Receive healing, forgiveness, cleansing, restoration. Come to Jesus and live, truly live. I'm going to close by reading the words of this untitled hymn by Chris Rice. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain, so sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus and live. And when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side and fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we hear your voice. We come from wherever we are to answer your call to come to you. Out of whatever circumstances, Jesus, we come to you. Save us, heal us, deliver us, make us your children, your witnesses. Reveal yourself to us. Come, Holy Spirit, and draw us to God the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son, now. Amen.